Here, care is where you need it. With over 350 primary care providers in Central Ohio, expert care is minutes away. See how we care for all of you at MountCarmelForYou.com.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
This experience happened about a month ago, which I label the scariest and most bizarre encounter of my life. Don't exactly feel comfortable with sharing this experience with others, since there are those out there who are close-minded of these types of things. That's why I'm using your podcast as a place to share my experience, a safe, understanding place. I was always open to the belief of spirits, but the ideas of demons and possession always seemed a bit far-fetched for me. That's not like the kind of thing you only see in the movies. Well, after this one long night, I look at things from a whole new perspective. Under a year ago, I became friends with Robin and Dan. They're a nice couple. A bit shy and awkward at times, but whatever. I need someone to talk to or a place to go. They're there for me. They'd recently taken in a new roommate who they have known for years, Cody. Cody wasn't getting along with his family, so they took him in. When I had slept over, I slept in the same room as him. He sleeps on the floor on a giant mattress, and I sleep on the futon, which is almost next to it, but there's a table between us. Robin and Dan sleep in their own room, which is out by the kitchen. First two nights I slept over, I woke up during the night, and I hear Cody sleep whispering. It was the eeriest thing. Most of it sounded gibberish or almost like a whole other language. I didn't think much of it other than it was just strange sounding and sleep talking. Although I had never exactly experienced anyone sound like that before, the second time I experienced it, the next morning, I did mention it to him and that he makes a lot of sounds in his sleep. And he just said, "Oh, really?" and brushed it off. The third night I spent there was the last night spent with him. This time a friend of mine was over. Cat, Robin, and Dan decided to go to bed early. Cat, Cody, and I stayed up for a little bit, and then all decided to crash on that giant mattress that he usually sleeps on. I slept on my side facing away from them. Cat was sleeping in the middle. Throughout the night, I kept hearing the strangest noises. It was occasionally throat-clearing sounds, slight grunts, slight movement. It took me a second to realize it was Cody's sleep talk that was going on again. Before I had realized it, I thought that maybe both Kat and Cody were awake, messing around next to me, which would have been really awkward. Slightly unsure, I braved myself and rolled over to see Kat sleeping. I poked her and she woke up. We started discussing the noises coming from Cody next to us. I started giggling in relief when I mentioned that I had thought they were potentially messing around. I realized the more I talked and giggled, the louder the noises were getting from Cody. The sleep whispering started up again. Now, finding the whole aspect of sleep talkers amusing, we came up with the idea of trying to talk to him to see if he would talk back to us in a sleeping state. Biggest mistake ever. This is where it all goes downhill. So Kat and I were trying to come up with things to say or ask. At first, she started asking him random questions, silly things like, "Hey, Cody, did you run out of hot dogs?" Each time he twitched a little bit and whispered a little more gibberish sound. He was reacting to her voice. It started to sound a little creepy, but still full of innocent laughs, finding it amusing. I said, "Wow, he sounds like a demon." "Kat, you should ask him if he's a demon." The second I ended that sentence, the room physically went cold. I can't even begin to explain the dark, heavy, cold feeling that filled the room. Cody sat straight up out of bed, his eyes rolled back up into his head, and he started gagging and then snarling. Kat and I, in such a stunned state, ran straight into the bathroom and locked the door. The fear inside me didn't even sink in yet. I wasn't exactly scared yet, just shocked and confused. I kept asking, "What just happened?" Cody's sleep whispering started to turn into actual sleep talking. The bathroom is across the room, so I couldn't hear everything that was being said or all of the noises coming from him. But the voice I did hear didn't even sound like his, but it was clearly coming from him. It was very deep. It was like there were two different voices talking back and forth in gibberish or another language, with occasionally English being interjected. I kept hearing him say, "They are still in there." Kat was really upset and started to shake and cry. I was still in my own personal state of shock and denial. It crossed my mind, could this all just be a joke? But there was such a cold, heavy, dark feeling. Unfortunately, I knew it wasn't a joke, but I wanted it to be. Finally, it went quiet. We probably waited in silence for about a total of 15 minutes while I worked up the courage to open the door and check on him. Kat whispered that maybe he went back to sleep since it had been quiet for a while. I had an awful feeling in my stomach, but I put my hand on the doorknob and whipped the door open extremely fast. There he was, just sitting straight up on the mattress like he was waiting for me, looking me dead straight in the eyes, the evilest demonic grin. Even though it was dark, it was almost like he had a ghastly glow. He was the only thing that stood out in the room. Looking right at me. Instant panic. I slammed the door, locked it again. Now the fear finally sunk inside me. I started to get teary-eyed a little bit, started to pray inside of my head. I was praying for this all to pass over and to be kept safe. He began talking again, started off with those gibberish noises, all kind of making a clicking sort of sound. And then the deeper voice came out and said, "Open the door." Then we hear Cody's normal voice again, and it sounded like he's crying and whimpering. He starts to plead for Kat to open the door over and over again. He kept saying, "Kat, please open the door. Kat, please." Kat looked at me. She asked if I should say something back. I told her no. I said we need to just keep waiting this out. We were in there for such a long time. It must have been about 45 minutes it had passed. Throughout the whole time, I could hear Cody talking that gibberish talk from across the room as usual. But the bathroom door started to vibrate. This is when I had enough. I knew there were two windows open in the apartment, and Dan and Robin were just a couple of rooms away. I decided to scream and bang my fists on the door in hopes to get someone's attention. I did that. Instantly, the dark, cold feeling went away. Then I heard Cody say, "What the fuck?" Apparently, when I did that, it somehow snapped him out of his possession. I knew it was safe, but I was still hesitant to come out. We talked back and forth to him a little bit through the door. Then I finally opened the door and went and sat down to talk to him. He said his throat felt dry and he didn't remember anything that happened. He said he could remember feeling his body move around, though. I described detail by detail everything that happened, to which he then opened up about how he has a spirit named John attached to him. He said John has been with him for about 7 years now. He described a couple times where his ex-girlfriend, who he dated for about a year, would be afraid and sleep next to him because she'd hear him having conversations with this John in his sleep. He also explained how his mother is aware of the situation and that his grandfather used to have a spirit attached to him as well. But he assured us that John would never want to harm anyone. I spoke up in disagreement. I told him what I felt was evil and that I felt like it wanted to either harm or scare us badly. He seemed to start to get annoyed with me, like it offended him that I was hinting that John is actually a demon. But talking it out made everything seem a lot better. I was able to throw out a couple laughs, too. I was also just relieved that everything was over, or so I thought. I started to apologize, though. Well, it wasn't a direct apology, but I explained that neither of us meant to offend him or John in any sort of way. That if we had known about this before, then we probably wouldn't have tried to joke around when he was sleeping. The second after I ended my little apology, the room went cold again. Keep in mind, it was a really warm night. Even though there are two tiny windows open, it was a quiet, warm night. I looked down at my legs in shock of the coldness with an awful feeling again. And the second I looked back up, I could see Cody's eyes roll back again as he falls back onto the bed. Kat and I ran to the door to leave the apartment. I didn't look back, but Kat said she looked back as he watched us leave with that huge demonic grin on his face again. Kat and I were wandering the streets of the town, not knowing what to do. It must have been a little after 5 a.m. at the time. We eventually made our way over to Dunkin' Donuts to get some coffee. We sat at the table and talked about what we should do. I suggested that since there's a church right up the hill, we should try to talk to a priest. I just wanted some assurance or advice or even a prayer or anything that would help the situation become better. She looked up a number on her phone and tried to call it. Due to bad service, we couldn't understand what was being said on the other end of the phone, so we decided to walk up to the church. We sat on the bench for a little bit, and the priest, who lives right next to the church, came out and invited us inside of his home. We sat on his couch and explained everything we experienced. I felt so relieved as I explained everything to him, because my biggest fear was to explain something and get looked at like I'm some kind of a nutcase. He listened in belief and explained how a family friend of his had a similar problem, but didn't get into much detail. I told him my fear is that whatever is inside him might try to latch onto us or haunt us. And he assured us that it's Cody's own demon, and it's his problem, not ours. He also explained that the situation becomes worse when the person doesn't recognize it as a problem. He said Cody probably views the demon as if it's his friend. I completely agreed with that sentiment because Cody seemed to get offended when I referred to the demon instead of his spirit. The priest also told us that it feeds on our fears and we just need to keep our faith and strength and we will be okay. We left his house feeling a little bit better. Kat was a bit more hesitant, but I tried to work her up confidence-wise and head back to the apartment. I told her that we were going to carry on a normal conversation right as we walked through that door, as if everything is fine, which is exactly what we did. I opened the door to the apartment, and Cody was up and awake playing video games. We awkwardly sat down, and we were all just quiet. I didn't really know what to say. Neither did he. Got on my laptop, and Kat got on hers. We were sending messages back and forth quietly. In her messages, she told me not to tell Robin and Dan about the situation when they wake up, because if they hear about it, they'll probably kick Cody out and he'll be homeless. I debated, but agreed not to anyway. She decided to get up and go outside for a smoke. Cody stopped playing his video game, went into his bag and got some clothes and went into the bathroom to take a shower. I was still using my laptop messaging people on Facebook. I could hear Cody making noises while in the shower. It was just slight coughing and that clearing of the throat noise again. And I started to get a weird feeling. It wasn't as bad and cold as before, but I had a gut feeling that I should just go step outside with Kat. So I did. We were outside for about 15 more minutes and then headed back inside, and Cody was out and back to playing video games. Kat goes into the bathroom to use it, and she comes out, sits down, and messages me from her laptop again. She told me in the message that Cody's pocket knife is just randomly sitting in the sink. That instantly put a sickly, awful feeling in my stomach. She turns to Cody and asks if she can step outside and talk to him. He agrees. They head outside. While they were outside, Robin wakes up and comes out of her room. After the whole pocket knife thing, which I later learned he had no memory of, I completely changed my mind about being quiet about everything. I immediately told Robin about the whole thing, to which she then went and talked to Dan, and they stepped outside with Kat and Cody. Both Robin and Dan were disturbed by it all and agree that they don't want Cody living with them anymore. They suggested for him to sleep at Cassie's house for now until everything gets sorted out. Cassie lives right up the road at an apartment of her own. And she's an acquaintance of ours. Kat and I decided to spend another night at Robin and Dan's. Around 11:30 p.m. at night, Cassie starts sending frantic texts about Cody's behavior. Apparently, Cody was sitting on her couch talking to her, and he fell back like he went to sleep. But when he sat back up, his eyes rolled back. Then he snapped out of it and carried on a normal conversation with her. She was really freaked out about it. And we had her come over to talk to us about everything. Out of fear of going back to her own apartment, she decided to sleep over with us. We were all up a good part of the night talking about what to do. We decided that it's best to try to contact Cody's family or mother, since she's the one that's supposedly most aware of it all. The next morning, I went home and later heard they did take care of the situation and contacted Cody's mother. So he's now living back home. Now, flash forward, after all this, I had cut off all ties and contact with Cody. Though I did value the friendship and memories made with him in the past, I just decided it was best to not tell him anymore because of everything bad that had happened. I still kept a friendship with everyone else, of course, but sadly, Kat found it hard to do so and continued to keep up a friendship with him up until he broke into her own apartment one night. Unsure of what caused him to do so or if he was possessed, she called the police and is currently working on getting a restraining order on him. And this, unfortunately, is where my story ends. I have to say, though, this was the most traumatizing experience I've ever been through. I'm thankful that I'm not haunted by my nightmares or anything like that. All of this is such an eye-opener to what kinds of things are really out there. A few people I've shared this with have been close-minded, with an occasional person who understands and believes, but I've been told by others maybe he was on drugs, maybe he has some sort of schizophrenia or personality disorder. In some ways, I could see why some people would think that. But I know what I saw, and I know what I felt. The noise and voice changes, dark feelings, temperature change, it was something much more paranormal and out of this world. Curious if anyone else has had experiences like this. The thing I found odd was how no one heard my screams or banging when Kat and I locked ourselves in the bathroom. Like I had mentioned, two windows are open. They lived in an apartment building surrounded by other apartments. Dan and Robin were just a couple rooms away and supposedly they're light sleepers. How did no one hear me? I got chills when Dan later explained to me how in horror movies he's seen that demons can supposedly block out sound so no one can hear you. No clue how true that is, but I definitely wouldn't doubt it. But I wonder, does Cody really not think John is a demon? I don't think regular spirits can possess people, only demons can. I wonder if this is all a ticking time bomb, and it's only a matter of time until I see his name listed in a police report for harming someone. So many thoughts. So many questions.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.